In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. It's always a joy to be able to hear what God is doing, not only in our local area, but around the world. And today, of course, is no exception. With me in the studio is Pastor Andy Bonikowski. Pastor Andy, God bless you. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
As we consider what God is doing in your life and your ministry in the Basque region of Spain, first of all, we'd kind of like to get an idea of how the Lord began working in your life, maybe as a child.
Well, I grew up on the mission field. My parents came when I was 9 years old.
And that was in Spain?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We arrived when I was nine. And after a year of language school, my parents went to the northern part of Spain in the Basque Country.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I grew up. And I don't remember too much of the process itself. I just remember that as I grew older and got closer to college age, that it became obvious to me that God wanted me back.
Okay.
And I don't remember any struggle or any great debate about
it. No resisting God's leadership there.
Yeah. I don't remember any of that. It seemed like a natural process and a natural decision to follow. And so,
is that often true of MK's missionary kids?
No. Well, not the current ones. We have a ministry to MK's
okay.
now. And I find them to be pretty much like most other teenagers. They can struggle with God's will for their lives. And so I see them as being pretty much normal
okay.
in terms of some of them do see things clearly early on and others don't. And I think that's just God's individual way of working with,
sure.
with people and personalities. Some has to do with personality, I think.
Right, right. Okay. So the idea of continuing a ministry there, was there a local college you could attend, or you just knew you needed to come back to the States for that?
Right. No, there was absolutely no options for studying there. We, as far back as I could remember, we would think of going back to the college, university that Dad went to.
Okay, okay.
And so we just went back. Our home church was there. Our sending church was in the same city.
Where the college was.
Yes, sir. And so everything was linked together. Yes, sir.
Right, yeah. Right. And where did your grandparents live?
My grandparents?
Yes. Your dad's parents. Were they in that same city?
No, sir. They were all in Canada. Our family is totally German.
Uh-huh.
Emigrated to Canada.
I see.
And we're in Manitoba.
Right.
So that level of the family was in Manitoba.
Right. Okay. And so tell me about meeting your wife and how that worked.
Okay. Well, the first time we met, I do not remember, but my wife reminds me of it often. And that was when we were little children in that church, because she was also a missionary kid. Her family was sent out from that church. And we just bumped heads when we were very young, running in the Sunday school area of the church. And so,
which, of course, your mother always told you not to run in church.
Probably.
But you were anyway. Yeah, okay. All right.
So anyway, I ran into her and I bumped her head somehow. And I do not remember a thing about that, but she does. And so I know it from her. And then later I came and asked her how she was doing. And so that was the first time. The next thing she remembers is that we were both in Spain. We were both MKs. We lived in different parts of Spain, but since there were very few missionaries in Spain, we definitely knew. We grew up knowing each other,
right.
seeing each other two or three times a year.
Okay. All right. Was there any interest in her on your part before you went to college?
Yes, sir, there was. On my part, not on hers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
She said, that's the guy that hit my head. Why would I be interested in him?
Maybe so.
But how about your wife's name is Mimi. How about Mimi? When did the Lord begin to work in her heart about missions?
She said that as she, in college, began to respond to my interests and we began to date, then she just knew from the very beginning. She knew that I was going back to Spain, and she knew that dating me and eventually getting engaged and married meant she was going to Spain. That was her calling, and she saw it as simply as that, really.
Which, in essence, when you get married, your calling is to follow your husband.
Correct.
You know, so wherever he goes and whatever he does, that's your calling.
Yes, sir. And she understood that all the way back into the dating process, obviously.
Right, right. Having grown up in Spain, things like that, but you still, then before you went back as a missionary, you had to raise support.
Yes, sir.
What have you learned about that? Because so many times that is a really big issue in young people's minds when they're thinking about missions. It's like, man, how in the world can I raise support? Especially in today's society, is it more difficult today than before? Mm-hmm. What have you learned about raising support?
Well, I could talk about that for a long time, but the main idea that I would share is I followed my dad's example, who really broke the mold, I think, in his day as well. And when I followed his example, it was definitely out of ordinary.
Okay, okay.
And it was, instead of sending letters and making phone calls to a gazillion pastors and so forth.
Sure.
I did none of that.
Mm-hmm.
I got on my motorcycle and I drove up. We were in South Carolina. I just drove a few hours north into the North Carolina towns. And I began to – I would go to a town and I would look up the pastors.
Right.
I would hunt them down,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
And I would meet them face to face if they would let me.
Exactly.
And I have stories and stories and stories of guys that would – when I called them, because sometimes I would have to call them – from the payphone in town,
okay,
because I didn't know where they were.
Right.
Back then, there was no internet or all that, so,
sure,
obviously.
Sure.
So I would call them, and they would, you know, they would say, "Well, you know, I'm busy. We don't have openings, or whatever." And then they found out, "Oh, you're in town. Oh, yeah, well, come by." Because all I wanted to do was to give them some material.
Exactly.
And on numerous occasions, not only did we get meetings, but they became supporting pastors because almost always when I went then for the meeting,
right,
I already knew the pastor.
Right, right, exactly.
And so as a result, I think it went very much more quickly. And also, and this was a major part of our philosophy as well, our churches were very, very localized. And so in the first 10, 12 years, later on it got scattered for other reasons. We have churches like up here in Wisconsin, right, for example.
Right.
But that was all God's doing later. But in the beginning, in the early years, especially when we wanted to put our children in school for the 4 months we were back, we were always within driving distance of our home. And so we would get back early Monday morning, and they would go to school. Sometimes they would get out of the car and go to school.
Right, okay.
As we drove through the night. But it was always within driving distance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because of that way of, I guess, meeting the pastors personally. And the Lord just gave us some incredible stories.
You are the first missionary that I have ever heard that took my advice.
Well, I can tell you were agreeing with
you
me
know,
right away.
Because so many times missionaries will say, I can't get past the secretary.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I can't talk to the pastor. And,
yeah,
and I'll send letters. I'll never hear a word. Mm-hmm. And I will simply say, of course not. Mm-hmm. They don't know you. They haven't met you.
Sure.
So, you know, go to the church, visit their church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night if you have to, and introduce yourself. And it's that personal connection,
yes, sir,
you know, that yes, many times is a tremendous help. But let me ask you something else. You've had numbers of short-term mission teams come to your ministry. Tell us what types of things they can do to help in short-term missions.
The actual
the people that come, people that come.
Well, our ministry now has many different parts to it, and so it's probably easier than it used to be. But we have, of course, a church ministry going, so there are all kinds of whatever they would feel comfortable doing in church is available. Usually all of this goes in correspondence ahead of time, but there can be teaching of Sunday school classes. There can be special music. We have young people, young adults that meet together. They can, you know, just go and have time with our young people, which is good for them and our young people as well. We have at the farmhouse, there's always plenty of work. So there's work to do of a, you know, of a manual labor time.
Okay.
And so we pretty much can adapt to the talents and abilities of the people who come, yes.
Now, the church is not in the farmhouse, correct?
No, correct. Those two things are, they're totally separate in a way, although they're complementary.
Right.
They are in different places, and they have different purposes. Yes, sir.
Right, right. So as folks come, now, do they, like, do vacation Bible schools, anything like that?
Nowadays, yes. We never had really much option to do Bible schools in earlier years. But now that we have children, and my wife is heavily involved in teaching English in our town to little children.
I see.
And so in recent years, mission teams have come, several youth teams have come, and they have run Daily Vacation Bible Schools, and it has been a fantastic ministry because we do it in English. And because it's in English, we have tons of kids coming because they want the English, and they understand that it's going to be, you know, Christian, religious content. It's gospel, but they are perfectly happy with that because it's English, and they would not come if it was not the if it was not English. So the Lord has given us that opportunity, a wide open door, and so that's what almost every year, at least one time,
sure,
a youth mission team right, will be involved in that. And then if not, because we only do one a year, other youth mission teams that come will just schedule special activities for children or for young people when they're there.
I've even heard of some mission teams going to a country, and they would do nothing but teach English classes.
Okay. We've not done that yet.
And people so desirous to learn the basics of English, sure, will come, and consequently, along that with that time would be a Bible lesson in their language, of course, you know. But my son was a missionary in Brazil for the last 18 years. And when he first went there, he would have HOPE classes, Help Others Practice English.
That's good.
And so they knew that when they came to his home, they would only be talking in English. Mm-hmm. And they would be practicing,
sure,
their English.
Conversational English.
Yes. Right, right. And so it turned out to be, you know, a real help. It sounds like you really benefit from short-term teams, and as well as they benefit, just to be able to see what, yes, God is doing in that country. Many times when we talk about missions, I'm afraid folks in our congregations think, well, I'm not called to preach. Probably isn't much for me to do if I'm not a preacher. Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely not. A very small part of the ministry is actual preaching. So much of our ministry is the building of relationships and living the Christian life in front of the people that we have in front. And so anybody who comes and adds to our friendship with,
okay,
the people,
okay,
has had an impact right there.
We went to China with a team of six. And when we first got there, the missionary had just gotten there. He knew six people. When we left 10 days later, he knew 63 people,
yeah,
all university students. And
sure,
so that's exactly what we did. We just established friendships, mm-hmm, and they then could begin to follow up on them. Well, folks, we've run out of time this time, but be sure to join us again next time as we continue to be talking to Pastor Andy Bonakowski and just learning how God has been working in his life and through his ministry. And it's a joy to be able to be a part of what God is doing around the world. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.